Good deal. Would you turn in your Bibles, please? I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. We're going to conclude the year by talking about how to live a reconciled life. How to live a reconciled life. 1 Timothy 2, Paul writes this to Timothy. Guys, this is ringing a lot, if you could bring this down a bit. It says this: "This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." You know, the fact that we celebrate every single day is that our hearts as people that love God have been reconciled to God the Father. Our hearts have been made right because of what Jesus Christ has done. Here Paul says there's only one man who can mediate and bring together and reconcile God and all of humanity, and that one is Christ Jesus. You know, it's the plan of God, and it says in this verse, that all the world would be reconciled to God. Not only is it the plan of God that all the world would be reconciled to Him, it's also God's plan that we would live reconciled with each other. With each other. Everyone say each other. Living a reconciled life. I don't think you can really live a reconciled life with other people until you understand and discover what it is to be reconciled to God, what that looks like and what that feels like. Because I think the way that God reconciled us to Himself reveals so much about how God wants us to reconcile ourselves with each other. When do you need to be reconciled? Well, you need to be reconciled when things are out of order. You need to be reconciled when you're in offense. You need to be reconciled when you've had an argument. Anyone had an argument? Anyone had an offense? Anyone taken a position of indifference with somebody else? Anyone ever cut someone off? Anyone unfriended somebody? Anyone unfollowed somebody? Yeah, of course we have. We've all done that from time to time. And so reconciliation is something we really need to understand, particularly as we leave one year and go into a new year. Because you don't want to take the baggage of last year into a new year and spoil the new one with the junk of the last one. And so we need to know what it looks like and what it feels like. And I want to suggest to you today, it looks a whole lot like what Jesus did for us. And it feels a whole lot like what Jesus did for us. Do you remember the first time when you gave your heart to Jesus and you responded to the appeal and the beckoning of God to give your heart to Him and have your sins forgiven? Do you remember what that felt like? Do you remember what it looked like for you? For some of us, it meant, you know, tears flowing as our heart understood the love of God, the grace of God, and the forgiveness of God. For some of us, it meant running to the front of an altar and repenting and turning away from our sins. For others, it just that whole sense of glow and joy and peace as we embrace the love that Jesus had for us. That's what reconciliation feels like. It feels good. It feels good to be reconciled. And reconciliation is one of the great arts that we all need to make sure we are really good at. In actual fact, Jesus said this about forgiveness and reconciliation. He said, "Freely you have received, so freely give. Freely you have received, now freely give." Which goes against our humanity. Because our humanity sometimes thinks they're going to have to earn it. They're going to have to earn my forgiveness. They're going to have to earn this sense of reconciliation. But what Jesus did for us, He did freely. He did it. The only one that could do it. He did all the work. All I had to do was lean in and believe in Him. Just lean in and say, "Yes, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Receive into my heart. Have forgiveness for my sins. And I was made right with God." Romans 5:1, Paul says this: "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Peace with God. What a beautiful thing to have peace with God. What a beautiful thing to have peace with people. Peace is just a beautiful thing to experience. And of course, we've been talking about this a lot through the Christmas season, the peace that God wants to bring into our hearts. And peace only comes when you're good at reconciling. In Titus 3, Paul says this, he declared us, that's God, he declared us not guilty because of his great kindness. So I want you to note this about our relationship with God. It's all about him. He did it. Jesus did it. He made us right. He made peace. He declared us not guilty. In other words, he released us from our failings. He released us from our sins. And this reconciliation that God has done for us, it's the platform or it's the foundation on which we build a strong, overcoming life that God wants us to live. It's all about what he has done for us because of his kindness towards us. In Romans 5, Paul says this. He says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. Friends of God. Do you know, if you love Jesus and you're a God follower, you are a friend of God today. No matter what's going on in your life, you are a friend of God today. Another version says it this way. It says, and now we are reconciled to God. Now we are reconciled to God. Not tomorrow. Now, today, we are reconciled and made right with God. What does reconciliation actually mean? What does it mean? It means this. It means to bring together two things that are at odds. It means to balance the books. It means to make things right, to make friends, to restore balance, to make sense of two differing views, to build bridges, to close gaps, and to remove barriers. So maybe you've got some gaps. Maybe you've got some fences you've got to build. Maybe you've got some walls you've got to tear down as we leave 2017 in your relationships. Everything might be okay with God, but maybe there's some people around your world that you need to reconcile with. And so I want to talk today briefly about how to live a reconciled life. My first thought is this, is reconciliation does not posture its position. Reconciliation does not posture its position. I don't know whether you've ever been in disagreement with somebody, but if you ever have and you want to make peace, if you want to reconcile and restore relationship, you can't afford to posture your position of rightness. You can't afford to posture that position. When we posture, we polarize. When we posture, we polarize people. We push people away. Better than posturing our position, we need to do what the Bible says, which is to humble ourselves. Humbling yourself doesn't mean you're wrong. Humbling yourself just means I appreciate the value of this relationship. And it's not important that I posture my rightness. It's more important that I do the right thing. More important that I do the right thing than prove my rightness. And so to posture simply means to hold your position, to strut your stuff, and to parade your rightness in front of the other person. I want you to know today that Jesus did not make us right by posturing his position. He did not make us right with God the Father. The Bible says he was the only one that could make us right. He is the only one that could mediate. And so as a mediator, he didn't come down from heaven and posture his position and strut his stuff. This is what the Bible says in Romans 5, 6 to 8. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and he died for our sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, Jesus came to us on earth when we didn't deserve it. So reconciliation doesn't start with someone deserving it because of their behavior. Because our behavior did not deserve the Son of God to come into our atmosphere and to be born this baby that we've just celebrated, to grow into be this man that would be crucified on the cross. It wasn't because we'd done the right thing. It's while we were yet still sinners. If you're going to have reconciliation with somebody, you can't afford to posture yourself and your position until they do the right thing, or until they say the right thing, or until they take the right position. Because reconciliation is not actually about the other party, it's about you. It's all about you. And we need to be true to ourselves and true to who we are, and that helps us live with a spirit of reconciliation. Paul says this in Philippians 2 about the posture that Jesus took. He says, in your relationships with each other, that's what we're talking about today, relationships. In your relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So the next few statements I'm going to read are specific instructions from Paul about our relationships. It's not just a description of how Jesus behaved. It's how Paul says we need to behave if we want to live a reconciled life. It says, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself, in other words, he changed his posture. He made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Paul's saying, Jesus, this one that was chosen to be the reconciler, the mediator of all mankind, he didn't parade his posture and his position, but he humbled himself. He took on a lower position so that reconciliation could take place. If you're going to reconcile with anybody, you've got to take a lower position. If you're going to reconcile with a partner, with a friend, with anybody at all, in any sense of relationship, we are going to need to humble our hearts, even though we may be right, humble our hearts and not cling to our posture so that we can make things right. And so whether it's a family member, whether it's a partner, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a relationship with a church or with a leader, or even with God himself, that we would posture ourselves. In terms of posturing ourselves towards God, God commands us to repent. That's taking a humble position. That's taking a low position, a recognition of our failing and our fault, and turning away from that to turn towards God to embrace the forgiveness that he wants. And I think if we practice the art of repentance in terms of our connections and our relationships, rather than parading and strutting our stuff and posturing our rightness, if we did the right thing and taking the humble position and even repenting, we'd have a whole lot more bliss. In our relationships. Anyone agree with that? I think that's very true. I think it's very true. So God moved to where we were to bring us to where he is. And the thought is this: build bridges, don't build walls. Build lives that don't have fences around them and lead to offense with other people. I think it's really sad, and I think it's really ugly when Christians build walls rather than bridges and fail to reconcile because they want to posture. And so you've got to lose your posture if you're going to live with a spirit of reconciliation and be humble and be embracing and be forgiving and be releasing of people. The second thought I have in terms of reconciliation is this, is reconciliation breathes life into dead things. It breathes life into relationships that have died. The Bible talks about how Jesus did this for us. He gave us life when we became his sons and daughters. He gave us what the Bible says is abundant life, or eternal life, or the best life possible. So reconciliation literally breathes life into a relationship that's struggling, into a relationship that's dying, into a relationship that is dead. It restores life. It breathes life into that relationship. It makes things new again. This is what Paul says in Corinthians 2, chapter 5, 17 to 18. He says, when this what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore, for the old life is gone and a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who has brought us back to himself through what Jesus Christ has done. I want you to note that it says that reconciliation, it's a brand new life. It's a brand new start. It's a brand new day. How many of you would love to go to a new year with a spirit of reconciliation? A sense of a brand new start, a brand new day, a brand new year, a fresh sheet of paper. There's nothing better than when you're in school and you're doing art, and if you're not real good at it and you've made a mess of the sheet of paper, nothing better when the teacher comes and just flips it over and gives you a brand new start, a new sheet of paper, a new sense of I can start over again. And I think that's what a new year does. It's a natural beginning to look at life in a new and a fresh way. And can I encourage you with your relationships to do it that way too? So look at the start of a new year as the launch of living in a reconciled way, that you would give life to those that are around you, because that's what reconciliation does. It gives life. Thirdly, reconciliation involves connection and results in forward momentum. It involves connection and it results in moving forward in life and growing. Paul said it in the verse we just read. He said, all this newness of life is from God, who has brought us back to himself through what Jesus Christ has done. You know, newness of life happens when we're reconnected with God, when we get close to God. For some of us, during this fasting season that we're going to do, you're going to feel a whole lot closer to God. Closer than you've maybe ever felt before at the start of a brand new year, because you're denying yourself to embrace God in a greater way, in a more significant way. And what God wants to do in those moments is really work on our hearts and our circumstances to move our lives forward, to help us live life reconciled. Because the truth is, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to his heart. And God's heart is, I wish all were saved. I wish all were made right. And when your heart's close to God, you want that sense of reconciliation right across the board. You want to live at peace with people around about you, and you do everything you can to make peace and to live in peace. Irreconcilable differences is not in God's language. It's not in God's language. Irreconcilable differences. The truth is, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to his heart. And so that connection with God results in a sense of forward momentum, as opposed to an unreconciled life. An unreconciled life has no momentum, it has no vision, it has no go forward, it has no hope, it has no future, it has no movement, it lacks relationship, and it's a burden, not a blessing. You know, God intended that our relationships be a blessing to each other. Way back in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he created Eve to be a strength and a support and a partner with Adam, that they would live in that blessed relationship of strength. And it reveals what every friendship and relationship should be, that it would be giving life to each other, living in a reconciled way. Paul says this in Acts 17:28 about our connection with Jesus. It says, in him we live and we move and we exist. Or there's an old version that says, in him we live and move and we have our being. How long has it been since you've moved? How long has it been since you've had a little bit of movement and go forward in your life? It says, in him, in Jesus, we live, we move, and we exist. So when we live a reconciled life to God, we're living and we are moving. We're alive. Nudge your neighbor right now and say, alive. Alive. We're living. We're moving, because we're living and abiding in his purpose, in his pattern, in his plan, and we are fruitful. And we are flourishing, and we have momentum, and we're moving, moving, moving. I like to move it, move it, move it. God likes to move it. It's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. When you live in connection and reconciliation, life moves forward. I'll tell you when life stops. Life stops when we live polarized. Life stops when we live isolated. Life stops when we hold the high ground and we posture our position. Life stops when we don't add life to connection and relationships, but we actually add death to them. Life stops for us when we have this sense of no vision, no plan, no purpose in our life. And the plan and the purpose of God is, come on, live in me, move in me, exist in me, and have your being in me. Lastly, in terms of reconciliation, its behavior disempowers the past. It disempowers the past. And as we stand on the last day of 2017, and we're about to enter a new year and embrace all the new things that God has for us in this new season, for some of us, we just need to disempower the past. Not only for ourselves, but for others. Disempower the past. Don't be the gatekeeper and the keyholder of past wrongs. Don't be that person. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that judge. God never made you that judge. Don't put people in that prison. Don't hold yourself in that prison. You haven't been perfect. You never were perfect. You may never be perfect in this lifetime. But if you are in relationship and connection with God, you are forgiven. You are forgiven and you are released. And sometimes that's easy to hear, but hard to practice, and even harder for us to believe. Because some are thinking, Pastor, you don't know how bad I am. Well, I could take a fair guess. You don't know how bad I've been. Well, the truth is, I don't really care. I don't really care. Because the truth is, your sins can be placed under the blood of Jesus. That's the way this works. That's the way this works. You see, Christians, God followers, believers, they're not better than anybody else. They've got a story. They've got a history. They've got a past, like everybody. The beautiful nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God is the forger and the former of a new beginning for all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them." This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. What's the good news? The good news is this, is God's not counting up your failings and your sins to be used against you. He's not doing that. That's not the behavior of reconciliation. Reconciliation does not count up the wrongs and wait for it. That's one. That's two. And that's three strikes, you're out. That's not the nature of reconciliation. That is the language and the nature of isolation and polarization and separation. The language of reconciliation is, I am not counting up the trespasses and the wrongs. So can I encourage you, don't be the trespass counter. Don't be that kind of accountant in your relationships. Reconciliation does not count up sins and wrongs done. Reconciliation builds on the value of the relationship and it builds for the future. It says God has disempowered the past. He's disempowered the past. Our sins are under the blood. Leave them there. Leave them there. You're not building your life and your future on your mistakes. You can't. You're not building your life and your future on your failures. You're building on what God has done. You are a new creation. You are a brand new man or woman. Brand new. Just say that to yourself. Brand new. I'm brand new. Brand new in God. It says the old has passed away and all things have become new. So it is a new beginning. It is a new day. It is a new foundation. So disempower the past. Here's a thought. Disempower the past for others by covering, not exposing, by not counting their sins. Proverbs 10 says this, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Hatred stirs up strife. It goes around, it gossips, it murmurs, it whispers and causes strife. Whereas love covers a multitude of wrongs. Love covers a multitude of sins. Last verse, Colossians 1. Paul says this, Christ is head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he's the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and you're blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Can I have our team come to stage today? I love that reading. I love that last line. I love that thought where it says, as a result of the reconciliation that Jesus has done for every single one of us, it says our posture towards heaven, as we stand before heaven, is one of holy. I want you to know today, if you know Christ and Christ knows you, you are holy. Not only are you holy, close your eyes, you're blameless. Blameless. As you stand before him without a single fault. What a beautiful picture of what reconciliation does for the heart of a human being. That's how we stand before God now. We stand before him holy, blameless, perfected, without a single fault. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what God has done. Because of God's grace towards all of humanity, towards all of us. God made peace with us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through his death. God's actually done it for everyone in the world. But not everyone in the world has embraced it and received it. And maybe today you need to embrace the reconciliation that Jesus offers you. The fact that Jesus has done all the work when he died on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. You can't pay your own price. You can't make it right. There is only one mediator, Jesus Christ. There is only one name under which man can be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. Your name, my name, our name is insufficient. But Jesus' name can make you blameless, can make you faultless, can make you perfect in terms of your position before God. God wants us to live a reconciled life, not only with each other, but most importantly with him. And here we are in the presence of God for the last day of the year. And I want to ask you today, if you're in this building and your heart is not positioned to God in a sense of relationship, you don't know God, you don't love God, you don't serve God, you've not had that moment where God came into your heart to wash away your sins and forgive you and cleanse you of your sins, then now could be your moment. See, reconciliation needs to be in the now. In the now, in this very moment. And maybe God's speaking to your heart about reconciling with heaven as you leave this year and go into a new year. As I said, you don't have to work for it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. All you could do is receive this beautiful gift of new life that God wants to give to you. Jesus took a low position so that he could lift you up, so he could lift me up, so he could lift us up. And being made right with God is a very intentional decision to say yes to Jesus. It's an intentional decision to say, God, I need you in my heart and life. It's an intentional decision to open up your heart and say, I need you to be my Lord and my Savior, and to make my heart right with you. And that moment of reconciliation is the most beautiful, the most pure moment of life. It's a healing moment. It's a moment when wholeness begins in the heart of a human being, when heaven touches us and God comes to live inside of us, making us right with his heart. If you're here today and you've not made that decision to say yes to Jesus, then I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand and to look me right in the eye. And by doing that, you're saying, yes, Pastor, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Maybe you made that decision years ago, but your heart's far away from God and you know it. And you don't want to go into a new year with that same position of heart. You want to have a change of heart today. And you want to say yes to Jesus again? Then now is your moment today. And I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand also and look me right in the eye. So while everyone's got their head bowed, their eyes closed right across the auditorium, I want this to be a personal moment. I'm not going to parade you around the building in any fashion. If you put your hand up, you can stay where you are, I'll stay where I am. I simply want to pray for you. Pray a prayer on your behalf of you giving your heart to Jesus today. God's done everything he needed to do. Now it's your decision. Do you need to say yes? Will you say yes? Don't let anything or anybody hold you back and cause you to say no in this moment. If you want to say yes to Jesus today and ask him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, right across this room, would you lift your hand up nice and high? Look me right in the eye today, and I'm going to pray for you before we move on in the service. If that's you today, you need to make this decision. Would you lift your hand nice and high? Let me see your hand. This is your moment right now. Look me right in the eye. Pray for you as you say, yes, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. Yes, Jesus, I need to be reconciled to God. Thank you. You can put your hand down. We're going to pray for one of the little kids. Somebody else today, is that you? Is that your decision? Last day of the year, make it your best decision right now. If you need to make that decision, lift your hand nice and high and look me right in the eye. And I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for this little boy today. We pray in Jesus' name for your love and your presence and your grace and your forgiveness to come into his heart today and make him right with Jesus today. This is his yes moment in Jesus' precious, powerful name. Amen, amen, amen. Can I encourage you to take some moments to do... Here's a big word. I don't know whether I can get this off my lips. Reconciliatory. Is that a word? All the grammar experts in the room, all the school teachers, I probably didn't pronounce it quite right. But steps of reconciliation towards people. Live that way and life will glow and you will shine and you will enjoy the journey a whole lot more. Say goodbye to 2017 today. Go to bed and wake up and it's a brand new day. It's a new start. It's a fresh sheet of paper because of what Jesus has done for you and I. We're going to share communion before we go home today. And so while you're standing, we'll have our team come and serve communion right now. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you love God, I want to invite you to just partake. Take the cup and the biscuit, hold it in your hand. We're going to partake together at the conclusion of this song about the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you.